And so we are going to continue here our series on the family, and we're going to wrap it up today. There are two things in life that are inevitable. Inevitable, all right? You're not going to change this. And that two things are inevitable for every one of us in here. Really, whether you're married or single, this is true. Change is inevitable, okay? Change is inevitable. Things never stay the same, you know? Boy, I tell you what, could we have imagined everything that happened in 2020 back in January, huh? Change is inevitable. And in many ways, change is a good thing. I mean, like, for example, my little grandson, Connor, he's 3 years old. He's so cute. And little Connor, you know, says the cutest things. And he acts so cute. And it's like, you know, what's your favorite color? Orange. He makes orange three syllables, you know. Orange. And you just look at him and you think, oh, have you ever thought, why do they have to grow up? He's so cute. You just want to pinch their cheeks, you know. But the truth is, if 20 years from now he's still acting and talking like a three-year-old, we're concerned. Amen. You know, change is inevitable. Change is good. Now, the other thing that's inevitable in your life are trials. There's no such thing as a trouble-free life. That's not such a good thing on the surface, is it? We don't like trials. We don't like problems. Good things, though, come out of trials if we allow them to. And so I want to talk about marriage in light of those two things. Because marriage does not change those two facts. Marriage does not change the fact that change and trials are inevitable. In other words, some people think, that are single, they think, if I could just find the right person and if I could just get married, that will be the answer to all my problems in life. If I could just get married, I'll never have a bad day again. Get married and come see me in 10 years. Amen? All right. Marriage does not change the fact that you're going to have change in trials. What marriage does, marriage simply means that you have a soulmate, you have a best friend to walk through those times with you. You go through the trials, you go through the changes together. For example, Denise and I, we were single. And then we dated for a while, and then we got married. That was a change. Then we were married, and we were married with no kids for several years. Then we were married with one child, and we were that way for 7 years. Then we were married with two kids. 7 years later, we were married with two kids. Then real quickly, we were married with three kids. And then we were married with two kids at home. Clint got married. So we got a daughter-in-law, which was a wonderful thing. Precious, wonderful. And so we were married with two kids at home. Then we were married with one child at home. Then we were empty nesters with no kids home. Then we were married with one kid at home. Then we were empty nesters. Then we were married with one kid at home. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is that change is inevitable, whether you're married or not. Unfortunately, many married couples allow change and trials to separate them rather than walking through those together and getting closer through the changes and trials of life. In other words, a lot of couples, they move away from each other, they do this, and they drift apart during times of change or trials. They drift apart rather than coming together and walking through those together. Through the years, Denise and I, you know, we've had our share of change and trials. I think about the first 2 years of our marriage, you know, and man, the first 2 years we got married, I was still in school, college. I had two more years. She'd already graduated, so she was the main breadwinner. She taught school. And so she's teaching school. She got deathly sick in those first 2 years for a period of time. No doctors could figure out what was wrong with her. She was bedridden. I mean, she couldn't get out of bed. And finally, after quite a while, they finally figured out that she had mono. She taught junior high school, probably picked it up from a water fountain, right? And so she got mono and was very, very sick. Also in those first 2 years, we miscarried our first child up in Jacksonville. We miscarried our child at home. Then I was finishing my ministry training, and we had no clue where we were going to go, less than 2 years into our marriage. Didn't know what we were going to do. Well, we ended up, a position opened at this church. So we came here to Daytona. We took a position here as an assistant pastor. So again, a change. We moved from Jacksonville to here. Then we had our first child 6 months later. So life is full of changes. That's all in the first 2 years. And then, within those first 5 years, we moved three times. We had our first child. I joined a singing group, and which meant that we were, I was gone a lot on the weekends, which created marital problems and marital conflict in our marriage. So I quit the singing group. And I'm like, forget that. And so I stayed home. And so we worked through that. Soon, in our extended family, it was turned upside down. And in the midst of all that, I became the senior pastor of this church. All this is within the first 5 years of our marriage. So I could go on and on, but you guys did not come here this morning to hear about my life problems, did you? You didn't come here to hear my bio, okay? I get that. But I just wanted to spend a couple minutes to let you know that, hey, we know something about change and trials. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean that you lead some kind of trouble-free life. God puts this bubble around you and everything's perfect. No, we've been through our share of changes and trials. So, years ago when we first got married, Denise and I decided that we would base our lives upon the Bible, upon God's Word. And that served us very well. And this morning, I want to share with you some Bible lessons that we have learned along the way that will, because some of you are, you're behind us in this obstacle course called life, and some of you are ahead of us, some of you are behind us, some of you are a young marriage, you're just getting started, some of you are not married yet, but you hope to be married. And so what I'm going to share with you are some things that we've learned from the Bible that has allowed us to, after 30 years of marriage, to navigate through the trials and all the many changes, all the bends that and curves that life gives you. How do you navigate through those successfully and stay strong in your marriage? And so I want to share some of that with you. I want to give you four principles from Ephesians 5. They're all rooted in Ephesians 5. The first one is this. If you're taking notes, number one is, no matter the change or the trial, as a couple, you have to keep spending time together. And what I mean by that is this. Married couples, listen to me. If you allow whatever the change is in your life, if it could be having a child, it could be moving, it could be whatever. But if you allow the change or you allow a trial in your life to separate you on a daily basis, in other words, you're just not together most of the time, your marriage will greatly suffer. And unfortunately, it may not make it. You cannot allow it to separate you. And here's the deal. Sometimes change and trials separate us, and it's not even necessarily for bad reasons. For example, let's say you get a new job in a new area of the country and you got to move. Something that some people have done and do is one of the spouses may go ahead for months or weeks, while the other spouse stays behind. And again, we rationalize, well, we want to let the kids finish their school year, or we're going to let you stay behind until the house sells. And that may make sense on the surface, but it may not be the best decision for your marriage. Why? Because you're going through great change in your life, and you're separated most of the time from each other. And that's probably not healthy for a number of reasons. Just remember this. Remember what God's Word says. Ladies, you really need to remember this verse. It is not good for a man to be alone. Okay? He can get in all kinds of mischief. So it is not good for a man to be alone. I would, you know, so what do you do? Well, you may tell your new employer, hey, I can't come till this date. And that's when the whole family can come together, you know? And he may say, great, that's fine. You can work remotely or that'll work, no problem. You know, you may decide as a couple, hey, we do have to go now, but you know what? We're going to let the kids finish their school year in another school out there because they're going to have to eventually do it anyway. We're going to keep the family together. We're going to go together so we can be together. The kids, that'll give them a head start for next year to make friends, and so you can put a positive spin on anything. Your marriage is more important. Or you may turn the job down. You may be like, no, it's not worth it. We're not going to do this. We're not going to split the family and fragment the family. You may say, hey, you may think of something out of the box, like, you know, let's homeschool the kids the rest of the year or let them do virtual school, but you got to work it out. You say, well, I know somebody who did that and it worked out fine. And it might, but it might not. Because, I mean, I know of someone right now very well, very close friend, and her husband came down here and she stayed up north for several months because he had a new job. He found a new woman while he was down here. 25 years of marriage and 2 kids still at home. Found a new woman. They weren't together on a daily basis. So he found someone else. So it may work, may not. It may lead to the demise of your marriage. What am I saying? I'm saying this, that, you know, that's a risk. Because couples, in your handout, it says couples have to spend ample amounts of time together. That's true anyway. And that's especially true when you're going through change or problems. You have to tackle these things together. When you encounter change or trials, you got to tackle it together. Look at this verse on the screen, Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. I love this. It says, 2 are better than 1, because there's a good reward for their labor together. For if they fall, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no one to help him up. You know, you may have heard this, that trials in life can make us bitter or better. Your problems can make you a bitter person or a better person. That's up to you. And that applies to marriage. Change and trials can strengthen your marriage. Change in trials can weaken it and lead to its demise. It's really up to you. I've also heard it said that trials and problems can either draw us closer to God, or trials and problems can drive us further away from God. And the same is true in marriage. Trials can either bring you closer together in your marriage or can drive you apart. But the point is this, you must go through change and trials together. Be together. Be together. Listen, where there's a will, there's a way. You got to stay together. Through changes, through trials, stay together like glue. Don't let them separate you. Look at Ephesians 5 and look at verse 31. It says there, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Now look, that is not something just up here in your head. That is something that God wants you to live out on a daily basis. He wants you to live out that oneness and be together on a daily basis. You can't go for days and days and days and not be together if you're married. Listen, being married means that you left your singleness, you left your singlehood behind, and you chose to be married. You chose to come together and be one flesh with another person. And so God wants you to demonstrate and live out that oneness on a daily basis. You're one flesh. So you have to stick together through the changes and trials of life. Be together and don't let those changes or those trials separate you. Amen, church? Amen. Number 2, the second principle is always be on the same page through the trial, through the problem, through the change, be on the same page and function as a team through every change and trial. Now, most of you in here played sports, even if it was just in PE class, you played sports. And you know, if you played football, baseball, soccer, you were on the swimming team, you played, you know, basketball. Yeah. If you ever played on a team, you know this. Now, I played on a lot of teams, and I've coached a lot of teams as my kids grew up. You learn a lot about your teammates when the team goes through adversity. When everyone's winning, you don't learn so much, you know? But when adversity strikes, you find out about your teammates. You find out who has your back. You find out who's a griper and a complainer. You find out who's got a bad attitude, and it was there all the time, but when they're winning, it just doesn't show. But now that you're losing, that bad attitude comes to the surface. You find out who's all about themselves. You find out who's going to melt down under pressure. You find out a lot about your teammates when adversity strikes. Same thing in marriage. When adversity strikes your life, it's then that you have to come together. It's then that you have to say, hey, we're a team here, and we're going to take a team approach to this. Now, let me tell you, that requires communication. Last week's message was all about that. If you missed last week, you really ought to go back and catch that online, because we talked all about words. Do y'all remember that verse? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How many of you remember that last week? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Communication. Communicating, remember we said last week, to build up. Communicating words that bring health and life to people. Being a good listener, that's part of communication. And so we talked all about that. So it requires communication. It requires give and take. Give and take. It may require patience. It may require waiting until both spouses come to an agreement and they're on the same page. For example, one spouse wants to have kids. The other one doesn't want to have children yet. Wait patiently. Keep those lines of communication open. Be on the same team. One spouse wants to move to a different area of the country. The other spouse doesn't want any part of it. You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to put that on the back burner, because you got to be on the same team. Too many couples go through change or trials as if they're on opposing sides. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the, you know, if you've ever watched much football, you know that, say that's the football, and you got the football right there, right? And that's called, you want to help me a minute? Come here, hon. My wife's going to come help me for a minute, all right? This is more realistic because we're husband and wife, all right? All right, so you got the line of scrimmage right here, right? You know what that is, right? Yeah, you've watched football. You know what that is. So the football's here, the line of scrimmage here. On one side, you have the offense. And the offense has the ball and is trying to move it, which way?
This way.
That way, right. You got the defense, and they're trying to keep them from going that way, and in fact, push them back the other way. So, you got the line of scrimmage, and then you got the offense over here, and the defense over here, and they're on opposing sides. Yeah, yeah. And they're just, they call this the trenches. They're in the trenches, and they're fighting, you know. Yeah. And she's trying to move it that way, and I'm trying to move her back that way. Somebody took a picture of us like that in the first service and sent it to us from the balcony up there. So I don't know what's going on up there. But here's the thing. It's a wonderful, glorious day when you realize, hold on. We're married. We're one flesh. We are not on opposite sides of the line of scrimmage. We are on the same team. That's a great day. Amen. That is a wonderful day when you realize, hey, we're in this together. We're on the same team.
We are.
Amen. We're going to move that ball this way.
We are.
Let's go. That's a great day when that happens. Great day. She had no clue. She had a little bit of a clue this service because I did it last service. She had no clue I was going to do that this morning to her. I didn't tell her because I knew if I asked her, she'd tell me no. So I just put her on the spot. But it's a great day when you realize, no, we're on the same team. You say, Pastor Dan, Why do we get that way? Because we've all done that in our marriage, where we're opposing each other, and we're like on different sides. Why do we do that? Well, I think sometimes it's a lack of communication. You know, we don't talk things through. I think sometimes it happens when one marriage partner wants their way at all costs. You know, they want their way. And that goes back many times to childhood. We're used to getting our own way. Mom and dad always gave us our own way when we threw a fit. And you know what spoiled kids become? Spoiled adults. Right, that want their own way. Exactly, and I think sometimes that's part of it. And I think what happens is we make everything adversarial. You know, we're not on the same team. And I want to say this to you. If, say, there are some changes you have control over, some you don't have control over, but let's say it's a change that you have, say you're going to buy a house, right? You're going to buy a new house. And what happens is if you're not agreed on the change, if you're not on the same team, and then one of the spouses forges on ahead without the other one, if the decision is a disaster, then the spouse that was against it blames their spouse and can get bitter at them. If the change ends up working, it ends up being a success, then the spouse that forged on ahead gets kind of prideful and puffed up and says, yeah, I knew it was, I told you so. Yeah, just leave the decisions up to me in this house and everything will work out just fine. And that can lead them to continue making decisions independent of their spouse, which leads to more conflict. So I want you to remember this. Married couples, especially those of you who are younger in here, take some advice from somebody who's been married over 30 years. And I want you to remember this. Life is going to have its wins and losses. You are not going to rack up wins every day. You're just not. There's going to be job losses. There's going to be financial reversals. There's going to be bad investments. There's going to be problems with your kids. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be unexpected trials. But here's the deal. Life's going to have its wins and its losses, but you want those wins and losses to be together. Hey, if we made a bad decision and it blew up, we lost as a team. We blew it together. We were both fully engaged in this. We're on the same team. If we win, and we all love to win, but if we make a good decision and we win, we get to rejoice together in it. We get to celebrate together in it. Because again, we were both fully engaged in this and on the same page. Satan wants you and your spouse to become adversarial during the changes and trials of life. But don't allow that to happen. Look with me in your Bible, Ephesians 5:33. Look at that last verse in that chapter. Ephesians 5:33. It's on the screen also. It says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. Do you see the two key words in that verse? What are they? Love and respect. That's what a marriage is built upon. In other words, you're not going to act independently of your spouse when it comes to change or trials. Why? You love and respect them too much. You look at things from their point of view, and you respect that. What happens in marriages is that when you're dating and you're first married, that love and respect is there, and over time, that love and respect can go away, and you don't treat each other with love and respect. And so you're not on the same team. You're not on the same page, and it becomes adversarial. Everything's adversarial. Instead of realizing, no, this is stupid. This is ignorant. We are not on opposing sides here. We're on the same team. Number three is this. And when you're going through change and trials and you want to navigate through those successfully, number three, stay intimate through every change and trial of life. This is so important. Unfortunately, when life gets crazy, one of the first things to go for many young married couples, for older married couples, middle-aged married couples, makes no difference. But many times when the trials and the changes come, the first thing to go is that physical closeness, that intimacy. You know, you're stressed out, you're busy. And we did an entire sermon in this series on the importance of sex and marriage and God's intention for that. It was God's idea. It's not dirty. It was God's idea. And God's the one that implemented that, and he did it for a reason. He did it for a purpose. Look at Ephesians 5:28. Everybody go back there, and let's read a few verses here. Ephesians 5:28 says, "In this way, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies, for he who loves," it says, "he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord cares for the church. For we are members of his, of Christ's body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." You are one flesh with your spouse. That sexual intimacy is what makes the marriage bond so unique and so special. And as we said earlier, when you're going through trials and you're going through change, You have to spend time together, stay close emotionally. You can't be distant and apart for day after day after day. You got to stay together. But then you also have to stay close physically, sexually, if you will. Those hugs, those kisses, those warm embraces, that intimacy, that brings a sense of security and comfort in that relationship. When the marriage bed is strong, it brings a sense of oneness in which you feel like you can face anything together. Why? Because it's a physical expression of that oneness. It's a physical reminder of the oneness that you enjoy as a married couple. You know, 1 Corinthians 7, we did a whole study of that passage. And 1 Corinthians 7 talks about the husband and the wife rendering to each other due affection. Talks about not depriving each other sexually and the importance of coming together regularly so Satan doesn't tempt you. You see, hear me now. When couples become strangers in the bedroom, it brings an emotional separation and detachment that will wear on the relationship. And you can become like sandpaper to each other. Every little thing becomes an issue, especially when you're going through changes or trials. So you got to keep that part of your marriage strong. That's what God intended. Through changes and trials, I know you may be very busy, you may be stressed out, but you got to come together and keep that strong. Last thing is this, number four, when you're going through change or trials, protect your spouse and always have their best interest at heart. You know, I remember when Denise and I, when the kids were in grade school, the two youngest ones were in grade school, you know, Denise has been very healthy and extremely energetic. She's got so much energy. And she's been very healthy, but there's been a couple times, I told you about the first 2 years of our marriage when she got mono. There was another time when our kids were little when she got really sick, really sick. We didn't know what was wrong. None of the doctors could diagnose it, but she, was losing weight just rapidly. She was sick. She was just so sick. And remember, we didn't know what was wrong. And we look back, we never did get a diagnosis. We think it was a virus probably in her system that just had to work its way out. She finally got better, you know, but it took some time. And I remember during that time period when she was homeschooling our kids, and I said, "Honey, I think you should put the kids in school, because you don't need that extra stress. You really can't do that right now. You need," and she really didn't want to do that. And I wasn't going to make her do it, because again, you got to be on the same page. You have to be a team, right? But finally she's like, "You know, you're right." And we were on the same page. Yep, we need to put them in school. So we put them in school, and eventually she got better. And she was able to go back to homeschooling, and you know, trial was over. But here's my point. I was trying to watch out for her. I was trying to protect her. And I want to make a statement right now that you need to remember, married couples. Here it is. You ready? I've got it on the screen. If change is good for you and bad for your spouse, then it's bad. When a change is good for both of you, then it's good. Never forget that. If something's going to benefit you personally, but it's not good for your spouse, then it's just not good, period. Don't do it. But if it's good for both of you, then it's good. And that's the principle of Ephesians 5:28. Look at it with me. Ephesians 5:28 says, "In this way, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." You're one flesh. If it's bad for Denise, we're one flesh. If it's bad for her, it's bad for us. If it's good for both of us, then it's good. Now, that may be good for me, but if it's good for me and bad for her, it's bad. If it's good for her and bad for me, it's bad. But if it's good for both of us, then it's good. You know, change is never easy. Would y'all agree this has been a year of changes? Change is never easy. And usually we don't want it. Some changes are good. Many are very trying. Some seem really good at the time. And then it presents a whole new set of challenges. It's like we want a kid, we want to have a child, and of course you're thrilled when you have that child, but it doesn't take long to realize life will never be the same again as we have known it. You know, it's like we got a new job opportunity, more money, woo! And then all of a sudden you read the fine print and you realize, wait a minute, it's going to mean a lot more hours. Wait a minute, this means I'm going to have to be gone 2 or 3 nights a week. Wait a minute, this means I'm going to miss my kids' ball games. I'm going to miss their piano recitals. So some changes seem good, but then they're not so good. But here's the most important thing that a husband and wife can do. The most important thing, and this is something that Denise and I have learned, this has served us well. Over 30 years of marriage, and this has served us well. You ready for this? The most important thing is that a husband and wife both have a relationship and a walk with Jesus Christ. Because if both of you are seeking after Jesus, you're a Christ follower, you are following Jesus, if you're both doing that before the trial ever comes, before the change ever comes, because they're coming. But if you're following Jesus before the trial ever comes, He'll guide your heart. He'll guide your mind through that. And He'll keep you strong. He'll keep you strong. Change is a season. We go through several changes and seasons, don't we? We go through them all the time. If we learn how to navigate through those changes, putting into practice what we learned today, it will make the future changes less intimidating and stressful. You'll know that with God and with your spouse, you can make it through this trial or this change as a team. Amen, church? You know, I had a couple people tell me this week. I gave that message on communication about words last week, and it was real practical. You know, about how to sit down, how to work through stuff, how to listen, blah, blah, blah. And I had a couple of couples that told me this week, they said, "Pastor Dan, we actually sat down with your handout, with your message, and just absolutely did everything you said in the handout, step by step, and said we were able to sit down and communicate more effectively than we ever have before, work out our problems, and resolve issues." The reason why I say that is because that thrills my heart. When people actually take what they're learning on Sunday and immediately say, "I'm going to implement this." And this is one of those messages that you can take this and immediately discuss it. There's discussion questions on the back. You can discuss it. You can talk about it. And many of you are going through change or trials right now, and you can work through those as a team, work through them together, and put into practice what you learned today. Let's pray.